According to Luke,
glory to you, O Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Praising God with a loud voice, he prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return to give thanks and praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ on this beautiful fall day. We are confronted with shocking stories from our lessons, and none of you gasp. The stories are shocking, first because the stories are dealing with lepers. Has anybody been around anybody with leprosy? Kind of thought so. In the ancient world, if you were considered a leper, that was someone who had an infectious skin disease, a skin blemish, maybe a dark spot, a spot with a wart on it or a hair. The disease of leprosy, which is maybe or maybe not what they're referring to here, is a disease that degenerates and attacks your skin and causes it to degrade and not regrow. It's a terrible condition. In the ancient world, there were rules about how you dealt with lepers. The book of Leviticus has an entire chapter devoted to them. I'm not going to read you the whole chapter, just part of it. This is Leviticus chapter 13, if you want to go read. It's okay. It's thrilling reading. But the person with this disease is told, go present yourself before the priests. But I'm glad we don't have to do that anymore because I'm not equipped to do this stuff. And the priest is to look at your arm or your leg or the spot on you, and if they declare it leprous, this is what you are to do, verses 45 and following. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, and cover the lower part of their face and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as they have the infection, they must remain unclean. He must live alone. They must live outside the camp. If you had something classified as an infectious skin disease or leprosy in the early world in the Jewish areas, you had to go before the priest and show them it. And if they declared you leprous, you were cast out of the community. Away from your family, away from your friends, away from everybody. You were ejected from the community to live on the outskirts, often in the dumps, living off of whatever you could find with people of a similar condition. And you were told that it was you who was wrong, you who was unclean, you who were unworthy. So much so that any time you got near anybody, it was your responsibility to cry out, "Unclean, unclean, I am unclean, stay away from me." If you're walking down a road and people were coming towards you, you needed to get to the other side of the road, maybe even get off the road. Cry out to the people, "I am unclean. Do not get near me. Don't touch me. What I have might infect you and might make you unclean. I must be withdrawn and pulled away." The life of a leper in the early world was terrible. Now, Naaman, he apparently was such a great warrior that his king didn't mind the fact that he was leprous. But even so, leprosy is a difficult thing. Terrible disease that is not well understood. And today there are even leper colonies in the world. Remember Mother Teresa? The first places she served in Calcutta, India, were leper colonies. Whole gatherings of people who were told they were literally untouchable by the rest of their culture, shoved off to the side to die. And she went to them to speak to them of a God who loves them. The second shocking portion of today's lesson that you didn't gasp at was the background of the lepers. The Samaritan. Is a Samaritan. We talk about Samaritans on occasion, right? Jews and Samaritans did not get along one bit. If you were Jew and you lived in the north and needed to travel to the south of Israel, Samaria was in the middle. That's what Samaria is. If you needed to travel, you would cross over a lake or a river and travel down the outside and cross over another lake or river to get to where you were going. You did not go through Samaria. That was the lengths which you did not go, the lengths you would go to not be near those people. They were the enemy. They were the outsider. Now, Nahum, he's a special kind of outsider. Nahum was an Aramean, someone from Syria. Did you catch where he got that servant girl from? She was plunder from a raid. Think about that. His armies invaded Israel, took what they wanted, and went away. He was the general of an army who had conquered them, who had killed them. He was their enemy. They did not want to love him. We miss a verse, which is wonderful, to realize what was this letter that the king was upset about? Because when Nahum hears this idea that he can go forth and be made clean by this prophet, he goes to his king and said, I'd like to go to Israel and be made clean. And the king says, sure, why not? I'm going to send you a letter. And the letter is going to say to the king of Israel, I am sending you my servant Nahum, the guy who just killed a bunch of people, to you so that you can clear him of leprosy. So it's on the king of Israel to heal this man. And he's upset because he doesn't want the man to be healed because this man is his enemy. He wants nothing to do with this man because this man has killed his people and conquered his foe, conquered his subjects, taken them off as plunder. As we think of our enemies, I've been trying to think of good analogies for this. And the best I've come up with today is maybe like those people from Ohio State, because they always destroy Michigan football teams. I'm sorry, Jamie. It's okay. Or what about what's happening right now with the Kurds in Syria? Where a foreign nation is coming in and killing. To ask those people to go to their oppressor and bring them healing. That's a hard ask, isn't it? Because just like those people in those ancient times, we draw lines. We draw lines to say, who am I going to be with? Who am I not going to be with? Who do I want to be around? Who do I not want to be around? Who are acceptable people I will spend my time with, and who are the unacceptable people I want nothing to do with? Who are the people I care about, and who are the people I don't care about? And the people I don't want God to care about, because I don't care about them. The people that I can't find myself to love. We draw those lines. To this very day, we draw those lines of who is in and who is out, who is acceptable and who is not acceptable, who is unworthy and who is worthy. We draw those lines. I have to confess that when I was a little older than you two, I was on a service trip to go to Chicago and do some work in the city. And we were driving through a less than wonderful part of town. And our driver rolled up the windows and locked the doors. And I was thankful. Because I had drawn those lines. People I didn't want near me. People I thought I couldn't have contact with. We draw those lines each and every day. And as we draw those lines, we sometimes draw those lines for God too, to say, God, these are the people you can care about, not those other folk. Just these people. And in today's gospel stories, in today's readings, we are reminded of the ever-expansive love of God. That while we draw lines, God is always on the other side of that line, loving that person, healing that person, being with those individuals, like the lepers in these stories today. God is calling us past the lines we have drawn to love the people we have declared are unlovable, are unacceptable, are unworthy. God's love is already there doing amazing things. Past the line we have drawn. With people we might not be ready to love. To go to places we might not want to go. But God's love is already there, calling us to follow. calling us to see and participate in that ever-expanding love of God. That if we're honest, we, like those lepers, know. Because we don't deserve to be loved by God, do we? There's no reason or rhyme or right that I can put before God to say, you should love me. I am unworthy. I am unacceptable. Those first lepers, they knew all the ways they were not acceptable. All the ways they were unclean, cast out, not quite right. They were shoved in their face each and every day. If we're honest with ourselves, we know those things about us too. And just like those lepers, we receive the love of God that we do not deserve, that we cannot earn, that we cannot claim to be our own, but God gives it to us anyway. And calls us and encourages us to follow that love in our lives, to see where it leads us, to walk across those boundaries that are hard for us to cross and be changed by the love that we know. I don't have a miraculous conversion experience in my life. That's not my story. But I can tell you time and time and time again of ways God has called me into places I was not ready to go and how I have been changed because of the love of God I experienced there. God has healed me. God has moved me. God has used me. How about you? How has God healed you? How has God guided you with love? Shown you paths into places you weren't ready for yet. But when you got there, you realized you were there the whole time because that's where the love of God was. In your life, what are those stories? Like those lepers, they looked in the mirror and they saw that they were healed. And they came back to God and they said, thank you. And they tried to share that message. Friends, let us be like them. And look in the mirror and know that we don't deserve any of it, but we're given it. And to come back to God and say, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for how you have healed me. Thank you for how you have changed me. Help me to follow and help me to keep after you everything that I got. Help me to try to love like you love, even when it's hard, because it changes us into the people God calls us to be. Friends, will you pray with me? Dearest Lord Jesus, Father God, Spirit, help us to see your ever-expanding love. Help us to follow it, even and especially when it takes us to places we aren't ready to go and don't want to go to. Help us to see how you have changed us. Lord, help us to give you thanks and praise each and every day. In your name we pray. Amen.